Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this beautiful spring day. I hope you can get out and enjoy the sunshine and the warmer weather. We are going to open worship today with 231, hymn 231. And 239.
Christ rose, Christ rose, Christ rose, Christ rose. Good morning. I'm George Stecker. I'm the liturgist this morning. Please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit.
It is like precious oil on my head, the blessing of the Lord.
For this Jesus rose from the dead.
To bring us new life, one based in love and hope.
For our sake, to show us how much God loves us and to show that we are always, always loved by God and always forgiven, and that what God wants for us is fullness of life, new life. And so in that spirit, let us say together, let's pray together the prayer of confession. You have shown yourself to us, O God, by word and spirit, with signs and wonders in flesh and blood. Yet we still struggle to live and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us, forgive us. Enter into our lives and cast out our fear so that we may come to trust in you and trust in ourselves as the people you love so dearly, so that we may enjoy the fullness of the life you intend for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do have an advocate with God, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who offered his life in love and then with the same love defeated death and rose from the tomb on Easter morning so that we might dispel from our hearts and minds any fear that maybe God doesn't love us or that we are in some way or in any way insufficient. And this is the good news of the gospel, that God loves you beyond measure, and in Jesus' name you are forgiven. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Take a moment, share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
be seated. How wonderful it is to not only sing the hallelujahs again, but to have snacks during the passing of the peace. And thank you, Lynn, for bringing that back. We don't do that during Lent, so we have candy again. Always nice. Well, greetings to you all in the love of the risen Christ, and welcome to Plymouth United Church of Christ. It is good to be back together, and we are even kind of more reunioned than we have been in past weeks. Good B is back. Good to have you back from Florida, and I am so drawing Charlene and Harlan. There we are. I was looking at Kathy and Dennis, and getting all four of your names, I wanted to just spew out this consonant garbage or something. But good to have you back as well, and coming back up from Texas. Not much to say other than offer thanks again for last Sunday was Easter and a wonderful worship service. Thanks to all who offered music and read and helped lead worship, and the magnificent muffin breakfast was a big success. And what was our final count on that, Rob? Very nice. Just over $600. So again, many thanks to those who made muffins and all of you that bought muffins and enjoyed them. Also, I'm not going to say much about this, but yesterday, Cindy Halfen and I went to the Northwest Association annual meeting and down in Nakusa. Cindy went as our delegate and is also now on the Division for Ministry in the World. There we are. That's the kind of mission group of the association, so thank you for doing that. Not any particular big news to come out of that, although our new conference minister, Franz Reigert, was there and talked for a while about the future of the church. Very hopeful and good message, not just of the conference, but of the church in general. Today we're talking about, before I get to, is there anything else? Oh. I just probably know what it is.
Don't forget, as spring arrives and they start coming up in your garden, the Pine Tree Social will have a plant sale again. So we're going to do an indoor Pine Tree split or an outdoor Pine Tree split. Give me a call or give a call when I'm come up, and then I will pop them for you, and we will pop them for you and sell them at that sale. So if you
do we get to request who digs them up if we? No. Okay. All right. Did you say pine ice cream or for thrift sale? Pine ice cream. Okay. So yeah, if you have a plant or planters, Cindy. But in 2 years, that'll be just very beautiful back there. All right. Yes. And we do have also the thrift sale coming up, so be thinking of things to bring in for that as well. Are we selling plants at the thrift sale or not at all? Okay. Okay. All right. That's kind of what I thought. Okay. There will be a bake sale at the thrift sale as well. All right. Yes, there we go. That would be kind of fun. And set it up in here exactly like it is over there. That would be good. All right, well, today in worship we're talking about doubt. We're getting the story of Jesus coming to the disciples in the locked room. We often talk about doubting Thomas, but as I've said before, I don't think that's a fair way to talk about him. But we are going to be talking about doubt as we talk about roadblocks on the on the highway of life here for the next few weeks, but especially thinking self-doubt here this morning, not so much doubting whether or not Jesus rose, but the self-doubt that can often keep us from moving forward or make life a little more difficult for us. So as we come into our centering song here, think about when do you doubt, when do you doubt yourself, and how do you get past it, how do you deal with that? And we have a new centering song that we can't put the music, we can't put the notes in the bulletin, but you have the words. So Lynn's going to teach that to us, and we'll be doing the same tune for the next number of weeks, although the words are going to change each Sunday, but the tune will be the same. So Lynn, all yours.
Okay, well, I'm going to sing it for you, and just put it in your ears, follow the words. We are going to be using this for the next few weeks, but it's a real easy melody. It's not difficult to catch on to. So just kind of relax, listen, read, be reading the words, put the melody in your ear. We're going to do this a couple of times this morning. Come touch our minds and teach us how to reason. Set free our thoughts to wander and to dream. Help us to open doors of understanding. Let to welcome truth and wisdom. Come touch and bless our minds. I'm going to just play it once.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 4. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many owned lands or houses, sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Please join me in reading Psalm 133 responsively. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
There the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore.
Well, our gospel lesson is from John's gospel, and this is a story that's taking place on the evening of the first Easter Sunday here. The story of some of the disciples and Jesus, the risen Christ, appearing to them. And so hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words of John's gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And then a week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Now, part of believing the good news isn't just that we are to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, although that's part of it. But not just to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but to believe also that Jesus wants us to live as well. And Jesus wants us to live, that we are worthy and whole. And so not just trusting that Jesus rose, but trusting our own value in that as Jesus rose, as Jesus rises, Jesus wants to bring us along. Jesus wants us to live as well, wants to lift us up, carry us beyond whatever roadblocks get in the way of having a full life. And we're going to be spending April talking about some of the roadblocks in life, the things that block our journey, the stones that get in our way, or maybe as we here in Eau Claire encounter every spring, once the snow goes away, we can say maybe we'll be talking about the potholes that are on the roadway of life, the potholes that want to slow us down or the potholes that want to destroy our alignment. Especially our alignment with Jesus, our alignment with following Jesus, our alignment with God's intent for us, which is a life of love and fullness. A life of achievement and of being who we are made to be unashamedly, unabashedly who God made us to be. Without guilt, without shame, with all integrity. But we do have those roadblocks that get in our way, and Jesus, I think, wants us to help us get around them, wants us to go around them. Those roadblocks are not given to us by God. That's not punishment from God or from Jesus. I'm just there, and Jesus wants us to get past them. We can think of the disciples here also had roadblocks in their lives, in their time of following Jesus. Yeah, Peter tries to walk on water. He fails, falls in. The You know, we have disciples that argue over who is the greatest, jockeying for positions of power, who's going to sit at Jesus' right hand. There were the disciples who were with Jesus and saw his many miracles, and yet when Jesus, when they're in front of the 5,000 and Jesus says, "You feed them," they all say, "We can't do that. That can't be done. That's impossible." And there was Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Lots of roadblocks that they encountered. And once Jesus was under arrest and crucified, the disciples denied Jesus. They fled. They left Jesus alone, except for the women. Keep that in mind. The women didn't flee. They stayed around with Jesus. And then the disciples locked themselves in a room here. They're afraid. They're having doubt. They lock themselves in the room after Jesus' death. Although I will say, to Thomas's credit, Thomas is not in the locked room. He's out. He's either not afraid to be out amongst the people, or he's able to overcome his fear. At least he's out while the other disciples are locked in this room, because Jesus' death was a big roadblock. I don't know what they felt or what it would have felt like, but I would think it'd be awfully difficult. And imagine they were paralyzed. What to do? How do we go on? What comes next? They've just witnessed Jesus' death. Did everything they believed about Jesus mean nothing? Were the last 3 years just a waste of time that they spent with Jesus? What'll be the future? Can we go on without Jesus? Can we continue to share his message, teach his teachings, be his voice, or should it just be all over? Should we just go back to being the people that we were before? And if Jesus was killed by the state, by the Roman Empire, might their lives also be in danger? They were fearful. So they hid in a locked room, these disciples. Although we'll also read next week that two of the disciples fled Jerusalem entirely and headed off to Emmaus. And so Thomas isn't the only one with doubt here or with fear. I think they're all feeling it. Thomas just had the integrity maybe to speak it out loud, to say it. They all have something here that's in their heads, this roadblock, a fear, the stones that are put in front of us, or stones that we put in front of ourselves, the potholes of life, whatever it is that slows our journey, blocks our journey. And in this case, it's doubt, fear. Like, doubt and fear really go together. And there's a lot of doubt all over the place. And maybe a lot of preachers over time read this story, say Thomas doubted that Jesus rose from the dead, but then he saw and he believed. So don't be Thomas. Just believe. And then that's the end of the sermon. As though it's that easy. Just don't doubt in Jesus' resurrection and call the sermon done. But, you know, not doubting is not so easy. It's a lot easier to say it than to do it. Especially not doubting ourselves. That's the kind of doubt I really want to hit on here today. It's a self-doubt. Doubt in ourselves, doubt in our skills, our abilities, our worth, whatever it is. It seems in many ways a lot easier to believe that Jesus rose from the dead than it is to believe that as Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus also wants to bring us into a more full life. That Jesus loves us so much, that Jesus wants to bring us along. That can be, I think, more difficult to believe, that we're included, that we matter, that we're important. And so the disciples lock themselves in a room. Maybe they're doubting their ability to go on, doubting their capacity to continue Jesus' teaching, maybe even afraid of what might happen if they try it, whether they'll fail or maybe they'll just get in trouble. Doubting, and I think also doubting in many ways, perhaps, Jesus' wisdom in choosing them as disciples. You know, Jesus chose them. Jesus saw something in them. And I think by locking themselves in a room, they're kind of showing some doubt even in trusting Jesus' wisdom here. You know, doubt in oneself, that's a big roadblock. Doubting a faith stance, I think, is healthy. I think it's good for us to critique our beliefs, to question our beliefs. Why do we believe what we believe is what we believe, right? That keeps us from being a fundamentalist, when these people who's absolutely sure, who has absolutely no doubt about the rightness of their position and the wrongness of everyone else's. We don't want to be that. So some doubt in faith can be good, but doubting ourselves, that's a kind of death. That's a tomb. That's a roadblock that can hurt us, self-doubt, feelings of unworthiness to have what we have, or feeling that we're not good enough, or feeling that we're unlovable by those around us, feeling that we're unlovable by God, feeling that the good things we have, maybe we ought not have them. Perhaps we're just a charlatan, or we're being blessed by mistake, that maybe we're really not worthy to have this. And that self-doubt, boy, I doubt is an incredibly creative and relentless enemy. It's very good at trying to keep us down and finding new and exciting ways to make us question ourselves and wonder about ourselves. It is creative and relentless. It can find that hole in the armor, in our armor, that can make it so much easier to believe and focus on one negative thought and make that one negative thought far more powerful than hundreds of positive thoughts or accolades or good things that people say to us or our successes and our achievements. And it paralyzes, it causes anxiety, it can leave us in a state of perpetual indecision, second-guessing ourselves, assuming maybe that we're meant to suffer. So might as well accept it and stop thinking we can be anything more, or that we don't have the skills, that we're not creative, we're not resourceful, we're not whole. Am I good enough? Am I a good enough spouse? Am I a good enough family member? Am I good enough at my job? Am I a good enough student? Am I good enough to do what I feel like I want to do, what I'm called to do? It's an insidious thing, this doubt, and I'm sure that we all feel it. I think that's also part of being human, unfortunately. I have those moments of doubt. I certainly have my moments. And when it shows up, it hurts. It slows me down. It keeps me from living fully that life that Jesus wants me to live. I just think of my time as a student, elementary, junior high, senior high. I got teased a lot, bullied, kind of pushed outside. I was just never one of those cool kids. I was always an outsider. I was interested in all the wrong things that made me not part of any of the kind of the important cliques in school, and did get teased, called names, and whatnot, left on the outside. And you know, hearing those words about you're not welcome at this table, you're not welcome in this group, not welcome in this club, you shouldn't be here, you don't deserve to be here, you're all wrong. That still is in my head sometimes. Getting better at letting go of it, but every now and again it still pops up. I hear those words that were said so many, you know, 30 plus years ago. Hear those words of not being cool enough and wonder, do I deserve my successes? Am I really worthy of this? Or am I really that outsider who's not good enough that they told me I was? I think many of us experience these moments of self-doubt. Am I worthy? Am I loved? Am I capable? They're a tomb with a mighty stone rolled in front. But as I said last week in the Easter sermon, Jesus likes to roll those stones away. Jesus wants to roll them away, shine light into the tombs of our lives, bring us out of the darkness. Jesus calls us by name and removes, wants us to come into this full life. So he forgives us, takes away guilt and shame, says that we don't have to doubt. He says so often, do not fear. Don't be afraid. And in this John passage, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's a blessing that says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go forward. Peace be with you. And I gave you an assignment last week on Easter for this week to think about Mary's encounter with Jesus at the tomb. When she comes to the tomb in the morning and the stone's rolled away, the body is gone, she doesn't know where Jesus is, a guy shows up, she thinks he's the gardener, it's the risen Christ, but she doesn't recognize him, they have a conversation, and finally, this guy says her name, Mary. And then she recognizes him. Then she recognizes him, and she goes back to the disciples and says, I have seen the Lord. And so I asked you to think this past week how or if you've seen the Lord or if you have heard Jesus calling to you. Think of our hymn, Jesus is calling softly, or softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See at the portals Christ waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. And so by show of hands, who of you, you don't have to say anything about it, but just curious, who of you did your assignment? Who thought about that this week? Any of you? Do you have any thought? All right. Well, thank you. Think about that this week as well. Jesus is calling us, inviting us into this beloved community where we are loved and where we're accepted just as we are. We don't have to doubt who we are. And I want you to remember that and to trust it, especially in the moments of doubt. That's what I fall back on sometimes when I'm having those moments of just like, To remember that Jesus loves me. At very minimum, and this is a pretty high minimum, but at very minimum, I know that at least Jesus loves me. And Jesus wants me to have a full life. And that Jesus loves me, and to use that as a starting point to get past those roadblocks, the potholes of doubt. And I have another opportunity for you this week. You have these green cards in your bulletin. I made these for you, and at the top it says, I am loved just as I am. I want you always to remember that, loved just as you are. Just as you are. And take this card home with you. Keep it with you this week. And what I would like you to do is, if you get in any of those moments of doubt, whether it's maybe it's a doubt about faith or a doubt about yourself, doubt about your position in life, whatever that moment of doubt might be, if you feel yourself having that, be aware of it, accept it, admit to it, and then say, but I'm going to go forward. And when you feel the doubt, put a little tick mark on the back. You've got a big open space there, you know, one of those kind of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 diagonal line, 1, 2, 3, 4 diagonal line. Make a little tick. Keep a record of those moments of doubt. And then when you have it, say this prayer. There's a prayer on this card. Dearest Jesus, you call me my name and call me beloved. Help me in moments of doubt to trust those words. In this moment of doubt, I offer you thanks for all that is good in my life. And take a minute, 2 minutes, whatever you need. Remember all of the good things in your life. In this moment of doubt, I think of my achievements, remembering that I'm capable. Take another minute, 2 minutes, however long it takes to remember all your achievements, all those obstacles that you've already overcome, all the successes that you've piled up in your life, to remember that you do have the ability to get beyond them, and that the Spirit also is with you to help you go beyond them. And in this moment of doubt, I lift up those who inspire me so I may be inspired again. Think of all those that inspire you, mentors, teachers, people you work with. It could be people that you know, people you don't know, people who are living, people who are dead. It could even be fictional characters, character in a book that really inspired you. Think of all those people that you would like to be like. Lift them up in prayer. Offer them to God to inspire you. And then send your Spirit to increase my trust that your love for me and your desire that I live as fully as possible is greater than any obstacle. Help me live true to your vision for me. I pray in the name of Jesus who rose from death as a sign of your immeasurable love. Amen. You can say that every time you feel the moment of doubt or if you just want to collect them and wait until the end of the day to say those prayers. But remember that you are loved. Remember that you are loved. Keep this card with you this week. Bring it back next Sunday. And if you want, you don't have to, but if you want, we'll have time for you to just bring all the cards up, put them on the offering table as a way to just give all those doubts up to God, get rid of them, let go of them. We'll destroy all the cards as a prayer to God. And so this week, as you do this, and it might seem silly, it might seem weird, but it's helpful. I think you'll actually find that it is helpful. Don't doubt how this might make some difference in your life and how you perceive things. So as you go about this week, I offer you a prayer that you will let God's love for you, that you will let God's love for you carry you through the roadblocks and beyond. Amen. And we're going to do, actually, hymn 253, not 256. Celebration of Jesus' victory and Jesus' love, we have time now to give back some of what we have been blessed to receive so that the mission and ministry and work of this church may continue. Morning offering will now be received.
Yeah. stillness of this moment, I can feel your presence near. As I go through endless journey, Lord, I know you're always here. Lead me, Lord, as I follow. Guide me with your hand. Lead me with faith, I will follow. Lead me, Lord. Though sometimes I may not see all the plans you've made for me, patiently I will be faithful as you meet my every need. Lead me, Lord, as I follow. Guide me with your hand. Lead me with faith, I will follow. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Guide me with your hand. Lead me with faith, I will follow. Lead me.
Give you thanks and praise for light and life and love, and above all, the presence of the living Lord among us. By your Spirit who breathes within us, strengthen our faith, make us bold to use our gifts without fear, and work in our lives to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I ask now for any joys or concerns you'd like to pray for this morning. We do have one for Vivian Waltmeyer, Nancy Wendt's mother, who is in Severson. She got sick a couple of days ago and went to Severson, but I got a text just before worship this morning. Nancy said her mom is actually up now and eating and awake, feeling much better, and they were in the big room with the big window overlooking the river. So there's been some progress there, but I want to keep her in prayers. Any other joys or concerns this morning? George.
A joy, my mother had laser eye treatment that seems to help a lot.
All right. Oops, your mom. That's right, not Dorothy, but your mom. Sorry. Had eye surgery. Did I get that? Is that right? Eye surgery? Did I totally mishear you? Okay, laser treatment on the eye. Holy cow. Very good. That went well. Nice. All right.
Any other joys or concerns this morning? I think we'll give joys that our three snowbirds are returned. Could they have you with us again? Yeah. Nice to be in your own home. And yes, Keith. Okay, and that Mark is the one getting the leukemia, right? Leukemia treatments, and wife Sharon. All right. Any other? All right. Well, I'm going to do the prayer here this morning, kind of as a variant of the prayer that's on the green card you have, so I'll offer a couple of moments just for some silent prayers for you all to kind of get some practice in here, then we'll end it with the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Dearest Jesus, you call us all by name and you call us beloved, for we are your people, united with you through the power of your Spirit and through the grace of your Spirit. And though we know that you love us, we do have moments of doubt. Moments of doubt when we're not sure if we're loved or if we're worthy or capable. Those moments when we're unsure of ourselves and our place in the world. So we ask that you help us always in those moments of doubt. Give us your Spirit to remember your Easter promise about fullness of life. And help us in those moments of doubt to offer you thanks for all that is good in our lives. Especially we pray here this morning for George's mom, and Joy, that treatment on her eye went well. And we pray to you the joy that Bea and Charlene and Harlan have returned to be with us as well, and ask that you now hear our silent prayers for all that is good in our lives. And in those moments of doubt, help us to remember that your Spirit has been with us always and that we have many achievements and successes. To remember that we are capable, and hear us now as we offer you our silent prayers about where we have been and the successes that we've had. In those moments of doubt, help us to remember that your Spirit is always with us, to inspire us, and that your Spirit has been with all those who do inspire us. Our mentors, our teachers, those we look up to, those we aspire to be. And so hear us now as we lift these people up to you in silent prayer.
And we do pray for all the people of your world, for all who are wounded and hurt and suffering, all who are pushed outside, who are left on the margins, all those who are filled with doubt because of the words of others. And we pray especially for those among us, for Vivian and her health as she spends time at Severson, and be also with Nancy and her family. And we pray for Mark, who continues his leukemia treatments. And we pray for his wife Sharon and all of their friends and family who are on that journey with them. We ask that you send your Spirit upon us to increase our trust in your love for us, to overcome our moments of self-doubt, and to trust your desire that we live as fully as possible, and that your desire for us to have fullness of life is greater than any obstacle. Help us to stay true and in alignment to your vision for us and for the world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the risen one, who rose from death as a sign of your immeasurable love, and who taught us to pray to you, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Yeah, for our final hymn, we'll be doing 245. 245, Day of Resurrection. I invite all those who are comfortable to stand for the final hymn.